Good evening, Radio. Good evening, I'm Reverend Tanita Noble, and this is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Jeremiah Speaks contact information is you can call or text area code 804-313-7853. The email is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. It's a joy and an honor to be able to come onto this space to lift up and exhort our Lord and Savior. We've been graced with another opportunity to join in with one another and together. And certainly God is an omnipotent, and certainly he's a merciful. God's word says that it is also because of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. And because his compassions fail not, they're new and they're fresh every morning. And those same mercies trickle down to the noonday and then on to the evening and flow throughout the night. And I'd like to extend my gratitude to Apostle Mercer and Fivefold Ministries and moderator Reed. My text will be coming from the book of Daniel. It's a very familiar story, familiar passage of scripture. That's Daniel 6, and it's verses 10 and 11, 10 and 11. And it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before God, as he did before aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." And so if I had to use a title, if I had to attach a title to this message this evening, it would be, "Stop slouching and sit up straight." Amen. Stop slouching and sit up straight. Oftentimes as a little girl, my mom would say, "Sit up straight. Stop slouching. You don't want to be hunched over when you get older." My slouching wasn't particularly linked with an issue or problem. It was simply a relaxed way of sitting. Ah, some would say, that's no big deal. However, taking this nonchalant stance would ultimately, over time, affect my posture, affect my attitude, even affect my position. Later in life, I realized this is not just from a mother's standpoint, but also from a medical standpoint. You see, slouching, not having good posture, eventually it can cause some medical conditions. It can eventually cause back pain. It can eventually cause joint pain. It can eventually cause reduced circulation. Initially, slouching can provide a feeling of relief due to the relaxation of fatigue muscles. But long term, my goodness, it can put stress on your spine. I often think back in grade school and how we were told to walk with a book on top of our heads to ensure that our posture would be straightened or aligned correctly when we walk. And so having a good posture, not just for sitting, having a good posture, it's not just for standing or walking, but posture, it's not only vital for those things, for sitting, for walking. Keeping a good posture or stance can be quite relevant in our Christian walk. Good prayer posture, it is necessary in our daily way of life. Good prayer posture could prove to be indispensable in our daily walk. Does life have you slouching? Does life have you hung down? Do problems tend to dominate or bend you? The news, natural disasters, nations against nations, job status, marital status, social status, or even one's past or present status. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage and charge you to sit up straight and stop slouching. My selected text is a narrative that has been instilled in many of us from our youth. What do you think about when you hear the name Daniel or the book of Daniel? Our minds may swiftly drift to the thought of Daniel being in a deep, dark den, taking a doze by the mouth of a lion, resting there. But when we hear the name of Daniel or the book of Daniel, I'd like to invite you to ponder on the picture of Daniel's posture when and while he was praying. Daniel didn't just haphazardly toss a frantic prayer in the air. Daniel purposely postured. Daniel purposely positioned himself when he prayed. And so he, before a window, but not just toward any window, an open window, not just toward any window, an open window that was positioned toward Jerusalem, and not just toward Jerusalem, but the temple in Jerusalem, which was believed to be the place of the very presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory. This was all aligned with King Solomon's dedication of the temple. And so in that dedication, a plea, a petition, was made from King Solomon, which says, hear the plea of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Oh, hear in heaven your dwelling place. Heed and forgive. This place in which Daniel positioned himself in prayer, this place was a place that was dedicated. It was a place that was magnified. It was a place that was to be exalted. And so Daniel, he purposed in his heart when he positioned himself in prayer. And though Daniel had many, he had many reasons and he could find many areas in life that would cause him to slouch. He could find many areas in life that would cause him to be hunched over. He could look back and he could find many areas in his life that would cause him to slouch. But not Daniel. Not Daniel. Daniel took a position in which he postured himself in prayer, and he had purposely prayed. His prayers, they were purposed. They were not just tossed and just grabbed from on a whim, but he had passion. He had purpose. He had posture. Some scholars believe that as an act of faith on the part of the exiled Jews, to pray three times a day toward the land in which they had been taken captive. And so any count, his prayers were to God with purpose and with posture. And the key thing is Daniel kept his posture when what he was praying to was utterly destroyed. Keep your posture no matter what. Everything Daniel had gone through in his life, caught him off guard, no doubt. But he still postured himself. Years after, he postured and he positioned himself. And so the book of Daniel, as we know, it starts in an uproar. It was turbulent, a tumultuous time. Countrymen, family men, members ripped from their homes. Thousands were conquered. They were taken. They were snatched, forced to serve in a foreign and hostile land for some 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had swept into Jerusalem and besieged it. He plundered through this once holy and dedicated temple, the capital of Judah. King Solomon had poured his very best into this temple. His father, King David, he was not allowed to build the temple, but he was able to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. And so there was a lot of history position in this posture, there was a lot of history in the direction in which Daniel postured and positioned his prayers. King Solomon had poured his best into this temple, and so he had made some 9 petitions in this dedication, asking God to just hover over and continually keep the promises made to David. And that particular holy place, space, setting, and time. Now it was no longer a physical place. The brick, the mortar, the columns, the gold, for it had been overlaid in pure gold. Its adornment, the Ark of the Covenant, was laid there in the inner sanctuary, the most holy place, the holies of holies, the inner court. The whole surrounding of Jerusalem had been magnified. It was adorned, and not only that, it was the holy place. The presence of God was said to just hover over and just surround. And so that which Daniel knew to do is to open his window and pray, postured with a purpose in that direction on a daily basis. Not just on a daily basis, but to pray 3 times a day with purpose, with intent. King Solomon was so intricate and given the very best. It was even said in the book of, in God's holy word, that no hammer or axe or any tool of iron was even heard in the temple while it was being constructed. And in one quick swoop, the Babylonian king had come in and plunged and squandered the entire city, the entire temple, in the inner and in the outer court. Every cautiously planned in ruins, up in smoke, robbed, plundered through, taking the best of the best, the most intelligent, the gifted, taking the wisest and the strongest, taking the most beautiful. And so as captives, Daniel and the others, they had to face a long journey. Along with the temple, along with their place, their holy place, along with their place of worship being utterly destroyed and ransacked, they had to make this journey. Some 500 miles of burdensome, harsh conditions. Now, being snatched from your home and being forced to do this thing is a whole, total separate area. Not just being snatched from your home, but now you're embarking upon some 500-mile journey on foot. How disheartening. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a name, and so his presence, it invoked fear. And the scriptures tell us when he came on the scene, defeat was certain. When Nebuchadnezzar came on the scene, utterly annihilation was to be expected. This day and time, we cringe when we hear the evening news. We cringe when we turn on the radio. We cringe when we turn on the news in the morning, the news in the midday, the news in the evening. We cringe at what's going on around us, not just in our neighborhoods and not in our communities, but in our states, countries. The entire planet is in turmoil, disarray. But Daniel, he was the news. This very thing wasn't from him turning on the news and hearing it. He was the news. The Babylonian king, he took the strongest, and he left the poor to fend for themselves. And so not only that, but once they reached Babylon, once they made this 500-mile journey of uncertainty, of tumultuous of an upheaval terrain on foot. They did this. The minute their feet hit the ground in this new city, they started a reprogramming these selected hand-picked men, a brainwashing process, if you will, in an effort to cut them off from their very past, in an effort to shut them out from their culture and to force in the Babylonian culture. So they not only was forced to leave their homes, and their homes were destroyed and burned, after they've taken the best of the best and after they've ransacked it and taken the gold and taken everything they thought was of value, now they're taking these men, these women, to a strange and foreign land. And now they're ripping what they thought they knew from them. But how many of us know, you can take me from my homeland. You can take me from what I'm used to. You can snatch me and bring me through the transatlantic over the waters. You can take me from where I was originally from, but you can't take it from out of me. And so Daniel, he proves that very thing. He was snatched from his home, and he was stripped, but he wasn't stripped because he still prayed. He still steadfast to that which he knew, and that was the one true and living God. Daniel didn't turn his back on the God he served. Daniel did not turn his back no matter what it looked like. No matter how much of this brainwashing process he was put through, Daniel did not take a slump or slunder or slouch. The Bible tells us that he set up, he postured up, prayed up, and he didn't give up. And these acts, they were brutal. And so it was intended to humiliate. And some commentaries, it suggests that Daniel was taken in his mid to late teens during this time. Now, to think of all this for a teenager, the thoughts he must have, what he must have felt in his teenage years. But our Bible also tells us that Daniel would not be distracted by any of these degrading attempts. Daniel would not be distracted in such of a way that they would snatch who he was and who he knew from him. Sometimes things just happen in life. And if you've been to the point where things haven't happened, keep living. Sometimes things, life just happens. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. You didn't ask for it. You didn't create it. Life just happens. We can't control it. We can't handpick what we go through and what we don't go through. We can't choose which catastrophe is going to be hurled at us. These circumstances are horrible. They're unimaginable. Our people, we've gone through the same thing. Our ancestors, the things that are going on right around us today, it's unimaginable. Days of darkness, days of uncertainty, days of despair. I listened to the broadcast a few weeks ago, and so moderator Reedy described the heart-wrenching events in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. It's unimaginable what nations, what countries, what people, God's people are going through this day. It's unimaginable. Ukraine, Florida. We don't have to travel waters. We can just travel the land. It's in our very own. It's right at our doorstep. We have to prostrate ourselves just as Daniel did in his time. For all he had gone through, it was no time for slouching or poor posture. No, Daniel did not slouch. Daniel did not succumb to what his issues. He did not succumb, and he did not take on the shape form of what he was went what he was faced with or what he went through. But Daniel postured firm. He simply knelt down. It was a unique and postured because it was the custom and practice of the Babylonian to stand publicly with outstretched hand and palms facing upward. But in contrast, Daniel, he prayed in isolation in his chamber, which was also upper room, kneeling down in service toward an open window, which pointed toward Jerusalem, which pointed toward the one and holy temple. Surrendering all, it was a sign of reverence and humility to pray toward that direction. He prayed that God would forgive his people, that God would restore his homeland. Whatever you may be faced with, beloved saints of God, whatever you may be facing on this day, whatever wall your back may be up against, whatever keeps you from resting, whatever keeps you from sweet sleep. It's one thing to lay down, but it's another thing to rest. And it's a whole another area to have sweet sleep. You can lay down and your eyes be wide shut, and you don't rest. But whatever it may be, I encourage you to take on the posture of Daniel, to sit up straight. Stop slouching. Give your cares over to the God of Daniel. Daniel captured God's attention by being fully postured. Daniel was said to have been a faithful servant. Daniel did not compromise. Daniel was persistent in prayer. Daniel stood firm in his integrity. Daniel made some good choices during some difficult and heart-wrenching times. He positioned himself in prayer. Life has a way of happening, and we're all going to go through some seasons, and some seem harsher than others, but nevertheless, we all go through. But it's all about our choices. It's all about our posture during these difficulties. Daniel was a man who made right choices again and again, through some bad situations, through some unforeseen, through some unexpected times. Daniel made some good choices. And so Daniel lived well in Jerusalem. He was of Jewish nobility. But that was short-lived because life happened. Why I say it was short-lived? Because the Bible tells us he was in his teens. Commentaries, they toss between 16, 17, but in any account, we know at least he was in his upper teens, possibly mid-teens, snatched from his home. And so if he was in the nobility, if he was one of the best because he was skilled, the Bible says he was intelligent, that means he was in a good space. But then he wasn't in a good space. But then he was in a good space. Because Daniel did not let the dictation of his space dictate his space. He still prayed to his God. And so as a slave, many choices, but Daniel went against the grain, and he placed his unwavering faith in his God privately and openly, a critical, hard, death-defying choice. Will you stand firm and posture yourself, even in unimaginable circumstances? He had no control of being captured or having his name changed. His name went to Belteshazzar. They, in the Babylonians, they tried to do a total brainwashing and take your name, take your identity, take who you are. But Daniel stood firm. He stood firm. I believe he turned down his plate a time or two. But not only in turning down his plate a time or two, he stood firm. Because even though the decree went out, he could not control being captured or even having his name changed or even the king's decree. But there were some things that Daniel could control. Daniel could control his stance, his posture, his prayer, his diet. He fasted. How is your posture physically and spiritually? What is your posture while you're waiting? I'm pretty sure there's all things that we're waiting for. Whether we're standing on behalf of God, interceding on others, or whether we're simply standing on firm on promises that God has made for our very own selves. What is your posture while you wait? I encourage you to gird up. I encourage you to posture up and stand firm. When you notice yourself slouching, it's okay, but sit up straight and correct it. When you notice that you've begun to worry, when you notice that you begin to lose sleep, when you notice that you begin to panic, it's okay. Correct and posture up with purpose and pray with intent. Your prayer posture can be laying prostrate before God. Your prayer posture can be kneeling before God. Your prayer posture can be sitting. It can be standing with hands raised, whichever way you choose, whatever way you prosper, when you humbly submit yourself before God, surrendering all. If you're going to be found in your situation, let it be known that you've been found in position of prayer. If you're going to be found or you're going to be brought up in conversation, let it be conversated that you were found in position and posture of praying. If you're going to be critiqued in your time of adversity, let it be assessed that you've been found in posture, in prayer, positioned, postured. Don't let your Christian distinctives become blurred. Stand firm in your integrity and be content to serve wherever God puts you. Daniel had to do just that. It was well for him to serve in the temple that was inlaid and overlaid with the purest of gold. Every cubit, every inch, the wood, there was great detail went into that. And then there was great prayer and dedication when Solomon, King Solomon, dedicated. But my brothers and my sisters, this is just not for Daniel. Saints of the Most High, we can all position ourselves just as Daniel did. This is something that we all can have when we posture up. When we face trials, we can expect God to remain present. The Word of God says that He's a very present help in our time of trouble. Don't fold under pressure, but we can wait. And not only wait, we can do that patiently in faith. And we can be postured up with purpose and intent. Write the vision. Make it plain. Write down your prayers. Write down what you're believing God to do and keep it before you on a daily basis. And when you pray, pray with purpose, pray with posture, and pray with intent. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Please stay tuned for the Fivefold Ministry.
Yes, the songwriter says, "Beauty for Action" with Ron Kinoli. Thank you so much for listening to us. You have just heard from Jeremiah Speak. Each week you can hear them on the station here, Monday through Fridays, from 7 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Again, you can hear them on Sunday mornings from 8:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. God bless you. Again, we thank you so much for tuning in to our broadcast. And now sit back and let's relax and go into the inner courts of worship as we worship our God. We're going to start off with Donald Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers. And the prayer is called the Prayer of Jobaz. And it says, "Bless me, Lord." Amen. God bless you again, and you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Songwriter says, bless me, I pray for increase. Again, it says, I pray for increase. You are listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. If you would like to reach us, our email is F like five, F like fold, M like ministries, W like worldwide dot inc, INC, at Verizon.net. Again, that's fivefoldministryworldwide.inc at Verizon.net. We ask that you listen to us each week. We're on the air from Monday through Fridays from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. and again on Sundays from 9 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock. We thank you so much for tuning in with us. And we're going to listen to Miranda Curtis, Nobody Like You. Amen. Nobody like you, Jesus. Yes, we thank God for that because there is nobody like Jesus. Truly, we love the Lord. We love him so much that we give him our worship and we give him our praise. And again, we're listening to Nobody Like You by Miranda Curtis. And this is our disclaimer. that each week when we play the music of the artist, it belongs to the artist. And we are using those music, those beautiful sounds of Zion to glorify the kingdom and to worship our Lord. The music belongs to the artist, and we are here for promotional reasons only. So let us sit back and enjoy the worship of God, and let us enjoy a little bit more of Miranda Curtis. Amen. There is nobody, I'll say it again, there's nobody like our Lord. Truly, we are so blessed to be in the presence of God. We thank God so much how he has given us his Holy Spirit and his son Jesus who died on the cross for us. Only God is holy. Only God can take us through the trials, the tribulations, and challenges that we have. Because our God is holy. You know, I want to play a special tune. As I said before, I'm going to dig a little bit deep into the fivefold ministry so that you all can understand some of the charges according to Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. As I said to you before that, when you look at this particular text, and if you can, get your Bibles, and let's turn to it right now. It says in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And also, as a prophet of God, I wanted to play a special song. As I said to you before, I used to be a dancer at Morgan State University here in Baltimore, Maryland. And from there, I taught dance to other young ladies, including my daughter, who is a psalmist since she was 7 years old. I won't tell her age, but she's been dancing all over the place as well as the world. She has went to Jamaica. We've been invited to Africa. And now she will be dancing this week. We will be at Dr. Anthony T. May's anniversary service of 56 years in ministry. Again, that's Apostle Dr. Anthony T. May's anniversary service. It will be at the Harbor Hotel in Maryland. So it will start at 1 o'clock. So we would encourage all of you who would like to wish Apostle May's well, send an email, send a text, give him a call, and just say that we appreciate you, how you have fathered so many of us and encouraged so many of us to walk upright in the glory of God. And one of the reasons why I mentioned that is because my daughter will be dancing. As I said, she is a psalmist, or as we say, a prophet, someone that will dance before God. I will be there. And, of course, now my ministry have moved to the point that I still dance, but I dance with flags. We call the prayer shawl, and we will also move according to the rhythmic of praise and worship. So it is truly a sight when you want to make reference to it. I tell a lot of people, look at Psalms 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. praise him with the psalmistry and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with string instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise upon the high-sounding cymbals, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. This is one of my favorite tunes. As I say, I dance with flags, and this is by Donnie McKirkland, Only You Are Holy. I'll say it again. This is by Donnie McKirkland. I love his praise music, and it's called Only You Are Holy. We ask you to sit back and enjoy the worship as we go into the inner courts and behind the veil to praise our Father. God bless you. Again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and we want to say to you, God is able to do anything but fail, because alone he is holy. Amen. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. And I said tonight, I just wanted to touch a little bit on Ephesians 4:11-12. It talks about the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teachers, and the prophet. Let us examine it a little bit closer. You know, some would say, why are modern-day people called apostles? Well, that God said that people will do a more greater work than he did, which means that because of the different technologies that we have, internet, Facebook, YouTube, and the planes and different things that we can use to travel around the world, that apostles establish ministries. They are those that can establish ministry worldwide to make sure that the order of God, the things that set up like First Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. that Peter was an apostle, so he was given the charge to develop and establish a church, a place of worship, of coming together of souls. So you will see different apostles being used by God to do that type of mandate. As you know, sometimes with different denominations, they will say that an apostle is an overseer. An overseer has that same charge to oversee the things of God in his house, in his places of worship, in the ministries that others have set up before the Lord, and this particular person can oversee. Some are called bishops. It says if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a perfect work. It's a special connection with bishops because they are like the father to the ministry. They oversee churches, direct churches with pastors. The jurisdiction or the order of connection is right there. Say you could have seven pastors under one bishop who is like that spiritual head or father to those churches who help govern the things of God. As you know, with pastors, they are shepherds. They are those who look over and to protect and to guide as well as teach the sheep of God, the souls of God that come into the churches. His charge is to pastor and to lead the flock of God. You look at the evangelists, one that says that Jesus started out as evangelist. That is a very important position. When you evangelize, you witness to save souls. You witness the good word, the coming of Christ, as well as the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Bible of God. So evangelists have a very special commission or mandate to go to gather the souls of God, usually to help guide them to a particular church or edifice to worship God, and they are the witnesses of God. You can also see in Ephesians 4:11-12, it speaks about the teachers. The teachers are those or preachers. They expound on the word of God. They teach the word of God, and they can rightly divide the truth in the word of God to make it plain and to make it clear. You know, when I was in seminary, we were always taught that if you look at the five fingers on your hand, starting with your thumb all the way down to your baby little finger, that the five fingers that you have represent the fivefold ministry, which will bring together, we always tease a fist, and that they work together to glorify the things of God. You need the pastors as well as the apostles. You need the evangelists as well as the teachers. And it's so important that, as I say, that when the prophets, and that's the area that I really like to get into, because as I am an apostle, I help to govern, to establish, to direct and regulate ministries around the world. I'm led by the unction of the Holy Spirit as well as commissioned through the apostolic word of God and to help them to understand the foundation that's needed to organize those ministries, to run those different ministries or organizations. So one of the areas that God has blessed me in that I love, which is the prophet ministry or being prophetic. There it says in the Bible that the old people will dream dreams and the young people will see visions. So prophets have the ability to dream dreams, to see visions, to act on God's instructions. Some speak, or what we say, prophesy, what thus say the Lord of God. And they can do that through speech, ministry, and music. If you notice one thing about the fivefold ministry, that is something that I usually do. I expound on the word of God by using what Psalms 150 say, the instruments, the harp, the tambourine, the drums, all of those beautiful sounds of worship. And in your Bible, they make reference to that David, he used different songs, he's different scriptures, different poetry, that he himself had a gift of being a prophet and a summons of God. He would pour out his worship through his scriptures, through his song, through the messages that he gave. He danced so hard that his clothes fell off as he was worshiping God. So as we go into the inner court to worship, that's one of the gifting that I have, is to be a prophet of God. And I would just bring it to, sometimes people want to know, what is the difference between being a prophet and those who are prophetic or have the gift of prophecy? Well, as I said before, prophets are instructed and mandated by God to do a particular work, to say a particular thing for God, and they are commissioned to act upon the move of the Holy Spirit as God gives them utterance. Where you have the gift of prophecy, that God will give you a word of encouragement. God will give you something to say to someone else. God will even lift you up. Even when you teach to preach the word of God, you will give a prophetic word of encouragement. So it's not necessarily because you have the gift of prophecy that you are a prophet. There's two different administrations working there, but they all work together, as we say, five fingers on the hand, like the fivefold ministry. So as we go into listening to a little bit more of the worship, I love to worship God. That's one of the biggest things that I love to do. I love to dance for the Lord. I love to bring out my flags. Like this particular weekend, as I said, my daughter will be dancing, and I will have my prayer shawl as well as my flags where I glorify God. I go into the inner courts and to worship him. One of the things that we do when we worship God so much, when we give him the praise, we try to usher in that Holy Spirit so we all could be on one accord and to glorify him. One of the beautiful songs is by Tamela Mann, and it says, "Now Behold the Lamb." I'm going to play a couple of more selections before we close out our show as we worship God and go into the inner courts. God bless you so much, and thanks again for listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Worship God in spirit and truth, you have your mind solely focusing in on God, how he have blessed you, how he have woke you up in the land of the living, how he have did so many marvelous things for you, that your focus should be on worship, not to the left, to the right, to chatter of people, conversations, to be distracted by cell phones or TVs. When you go before God, you go in empty, you go in open, you go in ready to receive an outpouring, hey, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, so you can just give God his praise. You know why? Because truly he is worthy. We ourselves, that we could be nothing or have nothing of worth without the power of the Holy Ghost and eternal life. Let us listen to, at this particular time, we're going to listen to Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Worth. God bless you.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die. So I can see free, so I can see whole, so I can touch.
Yes, that he sacrificed his life, talking about Jesus, so that we can have a chance to eternal life and we can have the favor and the grace of God. I want you to turn to your Bibles at this time. I want to, like I said, I'm talking about the Psalmistry ministry, and this ties right in with what I'm saying. Look at 2 Chronicles, verses 29. Look at chapter 29 and verses 5. That's 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 5. And said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I say it again, it says sanctify the house of the Lord. Don't you know that in your worship that you can sanctify God, that you can sanctify not even the worship of God, the praise of God, but even the love and grace and the mercy of God. Truly, we are so blessed to even to bow down before him just to enjoy, to have a chance to the tree of life. And you know what? When you do what God tells you to do according to the commandments, the word of God, according to the oracles, that's in his Bible, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to treat others the way that you want to be treated, I guarantee you, when you sanctify yourself away from the filthiness of this world and to glorify God, truly there are better days ahead. Truly that you can go behind the veil and you can worship God in spirit and in truth. Let us listen to LeAndrea Johnson as she sings Better Days. God bless you. Amen.
By yourself, but don't cry, 'cause better days are
past, better days are coming. If you truly want to experience the glory seat of God, to be there and to feel the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to listen to the different songs of Zion, to just get in your quiet place or you say your secret closet and worship Him in spirit and in truth and truly feel the presence of going behind the veil to glorify God. God bless you again. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you again. And remember, each week we will be on this station here from 7:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock. Also again on Sundays from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. God bless you. And remember, better days are coming. Amen.